a word the Lord dropped on my heart. I was praying the other day, and the Lord just gave me that Psalm 107 which we read. You know, as I began to pray about it and what I was to bring, the Lord gave me a word, and actually it does go in line with the theme of our praise and worship today. It's on the goodness of God. And if you've got Bibles, let me encourage you, for the next few weeks at least, bring Bibles to church. Because this screen behind us is very small. And unless you're at the back and you're sitting with a pair of binoculars, you won't be able to see the screen. So if you've got Bibles, bring them with you. We're going to go right now to Psalm 119. You know, this is one of the greatest psalms, in my opinion. One of my favorite chapters in the whole of the Bible, Psalm 119. You know, I like to call this psalm God's Word on His Word. This whole psalm, all 176 verses, are meditations on the Word of God. And every psalm, every verse, with the exception of two or three verses, has some direct reference to the Word of God. And we're going to look at a verse which is a fundamental verse, really. A foundational verse. And that's verse 68. Psalm 119, verse 68. And it says this. I just want, if there's only one scripture you take away from this morning, take this one with you. Write it down. Get this etched in your spirit, etched in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 68 says this. It's talking about God, and it says, you are good and do good. You are good and do good. You know, this one verse tells us everything we need to know about the goodness of God. You are good and do good. You know, get this conviction this morning. God is good. God does good. You know, God only does good for His children. He doesn't give you bad things. He doesn't give you evil things. God isn't the one who afflicts you with sickness and disease. God is good. God does good. Now, I'm not saying God may not allow them to come into your life because of maybe some sin you've committed or some other thing. God might allow them, but God doesn't give them. So no one should ever say that God has afflicted me with this. Don't ever blame God for something that is going on in your life which is bad or evil or wicked. Never blame God, because God is all the time. God is good. And God does good. Look at what the scripture says. He is good and He does good. There's another psalm, Psalm 72, verse 18. You don't have to turn up Job, but Psalm 72, 18 says this. It says, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. You know, wondrous things. We read it in Psalm 107. You know, blessed, oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You know, God only does wondrous things. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would ever consider giving something bad to your children? If you say yes and you put your hand up and say yes, I'd like you to see me after the service and I'll pray with you. None of us would ever dream of giving anything bad to our children. In actual fact, we would move the whole of heaven and earth if we could, in order to do something good for our children. If our children are in trouble, we would do whatever we can, whatever within our capabilities, to help them and bless them and try and get them out of the situation. If we were to inflict badness upon our children, we would soon get visitors at our home from the local authorities wanting to investigate why we are abusing our children. Yes or no? Yet Jesus said this in his teaching. He was teaching his disciples about prayer, about asking God for things. And he says, how is it that you being evil, if your son comes to you and asks for bread, says you're not going to give him a stone. You're going to give him what he wants, what he's asking. You're going to give him bread. If he comes and asks you for a fish, you're not going to give him a scorpion. And then he says this to his disciples. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. I love these next words in this verse. This is Matthew 7:11 if you want to write it down. If then you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You know, God is all the time. Amen. As we go through the scriptures, and we're not going to take the time this morning because time is short, but you could trace through the scriptures, you could see men and women, one after the other, talking about how good God had been to them. They're talking about the blessing of God. They're talking about the favor of God upon them. I'll just give you an example here. If you come with me to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. I don't know whether you're familiar with the story of Nehemiah. But Nehemiah was in captivity. He was a cupbearer to the king. In captivity. You know, and word got to him that his homeland, Israel, Jerusalem, was lying in ruins. And he sought God, he pleaded with God, you know, what, Lord, do you want me to do? And God put on his heart that he needed to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. And so he went to the king in whose employ he was, and the king noticed that his face was solemn and sad, and he says, how is it, you know, what's going on? And Nehemiah begins to unfold and tell the story of what had happened back at home. And the king gave him permission to leave, to go and do whatever God had put on his heart to do. But in the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 18, here he is recalling this occasion, how he went to the king, how God had put this on his heart. And it says here, he said, he told them. This is those that he was trying to get to work and help him. I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me. He told them all about the goodness of God, what God had done for him. You know, when we witness and tell other people, do not talk about church. He said, what, we're trying to build the church? No, let Jesus build his church. Don't talk about church. Don't talk about the denomination. Don't talk about the other things that are going on. Talk about what God is doing for you right now. Amen. That's your testimony. And that's very powerful. What God has done for you. Now, there used to be a saying which went something like this, along these lines. An ounce of experience is worth a ton of theory. What does that mean? You can argue and you can talk about theory all day long. And people can argue with you. They can say, well, this theory doesn't match up. You don't agree with this one. I don't believe along these lines. But when you start saying what God has done for you, no man can argue against that. Now, they might try. They might say, well, no, I don't believe it. But you know, because you could talk with conviction that this is what God has done. God has been good to me. The good hand of God has been upon me. God has filled me. God has blessed me. God has met my need. Start saying what God has done. The blessing of God's goodness in your life. Another psalm says this. Psalm 73 verse 1 says, truly God is good to Israel. Now God is good to his people, to such as are pure in heart. Paul, writing to the Romans in Romans 2:4, says this. He says, do you despise the riches of his goodness? Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Amen. You know, God's goodness leads us to him, leads men and women to him. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, not necessarily the things that you are doing, but they might see the good hand of God upon you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, the good things God is doing for you, and glorify who? You? Me? No. The Father who is in heaven. That God gets the glory. When the good hand of God is upon us, when the blessing of God's goodness is flowing through us and in us and all around us, when the favor of God is on us, he gets the glory. Amen. I cannot do a thing for myself. I can't do a single thing for myself. It's only because of God. I cannot stand up here and speak. I don't speak to anybody. I struggle even to speak to one person. You may not believe that. You get around me, you find I don't speak to you much. Not because I don't like you. I love you all. But it's just, I cannot do it in my own strength. But thanks be to God. God gives me the enabling to speak, to preach, to testify, to sing, to do whatever I have to do. It's God. It's all God. It's nothing of me. That reading we had from the Psalm, Psalm 107, is a testimony to the blessing of God's goodness toward his people. Let me just go through some of the key points in that Psalm. Again, if you want to go back to it, you're welcome to. But in that Psalm, Psalm 107, it says this in verse 2, talking about it, we've been redeemed. You know, God's our Savior. He's the one who saved us. God saves us. That's the goodness of God on your life. The fact that you've been born again is testimony to God's goodness in your life. Then verse 6 says that he delivers us from all our trouble. That's the goodness of God, delivering us from trouble. Verse 7 says he leads us and guides us in the right way. That's the goodness of God. Verse 9, he satisfies us. He satisfies the longing soul. You know what it's like to be longing, especially at this time. You're never too far away from the bottle of water. You know what it is to be longing for a drink. You know, the psalmist puts it like this in Psalm 42. He says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs and yearns after you, O Lord. And as we yearn for God, his goodness, He satisfies us. Amen. Refreshes us, not with this stuff that we have in bottles, with water, but He satisfies us with the living water. He refreshes us. And then it goes on, it says it again in verse 9, that He provides for us. He fills the hungry with good things. Verse 14 says He releases them from oppression. He breaks the bars, He breaks the bands, He snaps the fetters, those of us that have been delivered from the hand of the enemy. We know what it is to have the chains broken. We've been delivered from habits and things that, you know, we only want to forget about now. Yeah, that's the good hand of God upon us. That's His blessing upon us. Then verse 20 says He sends His word and heals us. The goodness of God to heal us. Verse 29, when we go through the storms, and we all have storms to face, He calms the storms. That's the goodness of God. Verse 35, He refreshes us. He makes pools in the wilderness. Pools of water. You know how refreshing it is when on days like this, you know what it's like just to go and just jump in the sea. Hey. Let's go to the beach now. Let's be refreshed. No, He refreshes us. Then verse 37 and 38 goes on talking about He's blessing the land. He's blessing the work of our hands. He's blessing the things we do. You know, I want to quickly move on because obviously I'm running out of time. Come with me to the first book of Kings, chapter 18. We're going to look at a man that knew what it was to the blessing of God, God's hand upon him, the goodness of God upon him, the prophet Elijah. You know, the scripture says this in the book of Hosea. It says that it's time to seek the Lord until He comes and rains righteousness upon us. Peter, picking up on that theme in one of his messages in Acts chapter 3, he says this, he says that we should repent and put our trust in the Lord, believe in Him, so that times of refreshing may come. That the rain of God's goodness might fall upon us. Well, here's a man in 1 Kings 18, Elijah. For the sake of time, I won't read through, but brother's got it on the screen, if you can see it. Let me just give you a little bit of background to this, what happens here. Elijah, it came on the scene, and he pronounced under the direction of the Holy Spirit, under the direction of God, he announced to King Ahab that there would be no rain. He said, because Ahab was a wicked king, he followed in the line of his wife, Jezebel, who was one of the most wicked people that were around at the time. You know, they worshipped the false god Baal. You know, they sacrificed, you know, human sacrifices to this god. And Elijah came under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and he spoke to Ahab, and he said, look, Ahab, he said, I've got something to tell you. He says, the sky will not give any rain until I say so. Hey, what sort of man is this? There will be no rain until I say so. This is a man who's heard from God. A man who's acting on the instruction of the Holy Spirit. There will be no rain until I say so. Now, in between that time of Elijah presenting himself before Ahab and saying there will be no rain, God supernaturally looked after him. The goodness of God was upon him. God fed him with bread and meat. He instructed the ravens, the birds of the air, to bring bread and meat to satisfy him and to feed him and to look after him. That's the goodness of God upon him. Then when the ravens stopped, there was the brook first. by the brook. He lived by the brook. He drank from the brook. You know, when that dried up, then he moved on to a little town under the direction of the Holy Ghost again. He went there, and a widow woman looked after him. Now, 3.5 years later, we're going to move on 3.5 years. There's still been no rain. Can you imagine what it's like 3.5 years and not a drop of rain on the land? The land was dry and barren. Nothing could grow. There will be the carcasses of animals everywhere because they have no water to drink. There are no crops. People are dying of hunger. Dying of thirst. And Elijah presents himself once again to King Ahab. This is where we pick it up in verse 41. And Elijah says to Ahab, now what has happened? There's been a great victory on Mount Carmel. You know that story where Elijah calls fire down from heaven and it burns up the sacrifice. But that wasn't the amazing part of that showdown on the mountain, because the scripture says that, you know, when it came Elijah's turn to prepare his sacrifice, he put the bull on the altar, and then he tipped gallons and gallons and gallons of water on this sacrifice. Gallons of this stuff. This is precious. People are dying because there's no water, and he's pouring water on the sacrifice. You know what happens when you mix water and wood and things and fire? Mm-mm. You can try all day long to light the fire. Have you ever tried to light a wet piece of wood? Well, this is what Elijah did. He soaked this offering, this sacrifice, this bull, this wood. He soaked it in water. And then he prayed a simple prayer, which if you read it through in the scriptures, will take you no more than 30 to 40 seconds to read it through. He prayed this prayer through, and immediately the fire from heaven fell. It consumed up the sacrifice. It licked up all the water that was in the trench around the altar. And the people fell on their knees and cried out, "The Lord, He is God." Now that's the background to this account. Now Elijah goes to Ahab himself. And he says to Ahab, he says, "Go up, eat and drink." He says, "For there is the sound of abundance of rain." The sound of abundance of rain. Do you know what Elijah is doing here? He's expecting rain any moment. He says, "I can hear the rain falling." Now he couldn't physically hear it with his ears, but he heard it in his spirit. He heard the sound of the rain. And he starts to talk to Ahab, and he says, "Ahab, you better hurry. You better get back to Jezreel, the palace." He says, "You better go," he says, "because the rain's going to stop you." He says, "The rain will prevent you." He says, "There's the sound of abundance of rain." He starts to talk expectantly about the rain. You know, and if you want the blessing of God's goodness, start to talk expectantly about it. Start saying that God is good to me. God is good to me. Every morning when you wake up, look in the mirror and say, "God is good to me." Amen. Start believing and expecting the goodness of God. There was a stirring in his spirit that God was about to do something. You know, when you start to talk expectantly, you get to know in the spirit, you get to know that something is about to take place. God is about to do something. You can tell a heavy storm is coming, can't you? Why? Because you can hear the rumbles of thunder in the distance. There may be no evidence in the sky that there's a storm coming, but in the distance, you can hear the slight rumble of thunder. And you know that a storm is coming. Then it goes on in verse 42. I must be quick. It says, Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. If you want the blessing of God's goodness, pray. Pray. Prayer always precedes revival. Prayer always precedes the blessing of God. You know, very often the reason why a lot of us don't always receive, I'm not saying this is not meant to be critical, because I'm exactly the same. I put myself in the same boat. It's because we're not always prepared to pray. We're not always prepared to pray. The scripture says this, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Pray. Pray. And pray again. Do you know the worst attended service in any church is the prayer meeting? You know that? I've been in churches all over the world. And you invite people to come and pray. They come to the prayer service. They come to the Bible study. But prayer, And we wonder why the world is in such a mess. Pray. Pray. And pray. You know, there's I think it's downstairs actually in the Sunday school room on the board. P-U-S-H. Push. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Elijah prayed. He's expecting the rain. He's believing for the rain. He's proclaimed now. He's opened his mouth and he's told Ahab, the rain is on its way. Now he goes to pray. Verse 43. He speaks to his servant. He says, now go up and look toward the sea. So he went up and looked. And he said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Go and look toward the sea. He sends his servant to go and have a look out of the sea. Let me tell you something. If you're making notes, write this down. Don't focus inward. Look out toward the sea. Now, don't mean physically. You can do it if you want. It's a great view. But don't focus inward. Look out toward the sea. Why look out toward the sea? Well, somebody tell me, where are the clouds formed? Out at sea, the evaporation of the sea up into the atmosphere forms the clouds. What comes out of the clouds? The rain. So look out to where your help is coming from. You cannot see the answer while you're looking inward. While you're focused on the problem, you will never see the answer. Look out to sea. The psalmist put it like this. He says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 2, Paul encourages us. He tells us to set our minds on things above, not on things below. Why? Because when we're focused on things below, we never lift our eyes to heaven. While we're focused on the problem, we never see the answer to the problem. When we're focused on the problem, all we can do is worry. When we lift our eyes to things above, to where our help comes, we lift our eyes from off the problem, we start looking at the answer. We're looking at the one who meets the needs. And this servant went and looked. And he came back to Elijah and he said, Elijah, no, there's nothing, nothing, nothing. And Elijah says, go again. And he did this. He came back. He says, no, nothing. He says, go again. He went, he came back. There's nothing. Elijah says, go again. Seven times he sent his servant to look. What should that tell us? If we want the blessing of God, we've got to keep on praying. We've got to stand in faith. We've got to keep expecting. Don't give up just because there's no cloud in the sky. Don't give up because there's no signs that God is going to be good to you. You know, when you start to think you want the goodness of God, you know, something might go wrong. And you say, oh, well, maybe God's not interested. No, no, no. Keep standing. Keep in faith. Keep expecting. Do you know that scripture in the book of Ephesians? Paul's writing about the Christian armor. And he tells us that we... Actually, let me read it to you so I get the quotation right. Ephesians chapter 6. Just give me a couple more minutes. Ephesians 6. It tells us in verse 11, it says that we're to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then it goes on and says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, Paul writes, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When you've done everything, you know what to do, you stand. And then what? What's the next word in verse 14? Stand. When you've done everything, you know how to stand, you're standing, you've done all that there is to do, you're still standing. What's the next thing you do? Keep on standing. Keep on expecting. Keep on believing. The blessing of God's goodness is about to fall. And then the servant came back on the seventh time and he said, Elijah, he says, don't get excited. He says, but there's a tiny little cloud. It's no bigger than my hand. He says, I'm sure it's a cloud. He says, it doesn't even look like a cloud. But there's something on the horizon. Do you know what Elijah does? He gets excited. He starts saying, okay. We've got to go. We're going to be prevented. We're not going to make it back to the town. And I'm sure his servant's standing there saying, this man has... He's lost it. It's just a tiny whisper of white vapor in the distance. And Elijah gets excited. This might be a small cloud, but it's not insignificant. Why? It's a reason to rejoice. Why? Because it's God's goodness on the way. You know, the cloud is the carrier of the blessing. The cloud is the carrier of the rain. You know, in a land that's dry and barren, you won't worry whether the cloud is this big or this big. If it's this big, you know what happens with clouds? They soon grow. You wake up in the morning, you look across, if you live here, you look across St. Paul's Bay, you think there's not a cloud in the sky, and suddenly you see this little cloud just drifting in. You know it's not going to be long before there's quite a few clouds in the sky. Why? Because the cloud is the carrier of the blessing. And then verse 45. It says, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And Ahab, he hasn't gone yet. Elijah told him a little while ago to go. He's still there. Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. There was a heavy rain. The rain fell and refreshed the land. The blessing of God's goodness fell down. 3.5 years of drought was over. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. Praise you. Let's pray, shall we, this morning. Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness upon us. Thank you, Lord, that we've been able to sing and declare and rejoice today, Lord, and get excited, Lord, that you are good. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your hand of goodness upon us. Father, we just pray, Lord, that this week, Lord, we'll see demonstrations, Lord, of your goodness, Lord, in our life. Demonstrations of your favor upon us. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll bless with goodness, Lord, our pastor, Lord, and his wife. Lord, refresh them, Lord, that they might come under the, Lord, that rain of your blessing this week. Lord, that as they travel back to us, Lord, that they'll come, Lord, refreshed and on fire for you, Father, we pray. So, Father, we just want to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Worship team.